I need some feedback on this from you to decide whether it would be better for me to speed up so we have more open-ended discussion time, or
is this it?
I don't know. I feel you could probably go a little faster.
I sort of actually agree. Maybe a little bit faster. Not too much faster.
Yeah. I just posed the question whether the pace at which I was presenting the material I should speed up. I don't mean to speak a little bit faster, James. Yeah. Fewer repetitions of making the same point. Just to get a sense, since it obviously, because of time constraints, the more I talk and the more repetitions I do, the longer, the less time we have for discussion. So, I'd just be curious with a kind of show of hands, and you can all shut your eyes if you don't want to see everybody else's views on this matter, but how many people think that the pace is about right? And how many people think it's too fast? Anybody think I'm going... Anybody, how many people would like it sped up a little bit? Okay, so it seems like there's certainly a majority who think this is about right, and a few that would like it a little bit faster, so I could, you know, do a...
weighted average.
I could do a JND. Do you know what JND stands for? JND is a term that psychologists use, and it means just noticeable difference. Sort of the smallest change possible that you could actually notice could maybe increase it a JND. Okay. Let me just go to the last section of this part of the lecture on the joint effects of class and gender and explaining change. So the way I've broken down this problem of looking at the interaction of class and gender is first we looked at the impacts of gender relations on class relations, how we could think about that part of the problem. The second was the impact of class relations on gender relations, how we could look at that problem. And on that score, we discussed functional explanations and ended up with this notion of dynamic asymmetry as one possibility for the ways class affects gender. But there are many problems that we study, that sociologists study, in which the issue is how do class and gender jointly affect something else? Many topics have that character. If you're doing health sociology of health, epidemiology, you might be interested in how class and gender interact to produce different kinds of mortality or morbidity problems. The same for political attitudes. There's this constant reference to the gender gap in voting. Women vote more Democratic than Republican nowadays. They used to vote more Republican than Democratic. It's a kind of interesting historical transformation in the voting of women. Women used to be more conservative than men, and now men are more conservative on average, are more likely to vote conservatively than women. But there's also clearly a class interaction going on. The gender gap in voting is different for rich people and for poor people and for middle class people, if you're using that as your way of thinking about class, and so on. So the joint effects of gender and class on voting is certainly a relevant kind of topic. I think the way to think about the joint effects could be captured by two theses. I don't think these are especially controversial, but they're nevertheless worth stating explicitly. Thesis one can be called the distinct mechanisms thesis. When we speak of class and gender, we are talking about two distinct causal mechanisms. One is not simply another word for the other. They're names for causal mechanisms, or perhaps for clusters of mechanisms. The term gender and the term class are kind of umbrella terms, and they can identify a whole configuration of mechanisms. And they are located in